What does it mean to be an anti-diet dietitian? We're going to talk about it today. Hi, I'm Rachel Fine. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I specialize in all things food and nutrition for dancers. And today I'm giving you a rundown on what diet culture is and 5 red flags of diet culture so that you can be super keen on identifying what is actually supportive and what actually might be harmful when it comes to food and nutrition advice. But first things first, let's talk about what diet culture is, because it's a term that I throw around a lot and I want to make sure you have a really good understanding of it. Diet culture, in my opinion, is best defined by my fellow dietitian, Christy Harrison. And it involves a system of beliefs that really center around 3 major values. The first value is the goal of weight loss. So any diet or regimen or lifestyle that you see being put forth by diet culture, that ultimate goal is going to be to lose weight. Now, interestingly, what we know from the research is that weight loss does not equate to better health. Now, this might really contradict what a lot of you have previously heard about, but we know that weight loss isn't necessarily going to be a predictor of better health. And oftentimes, weight loss can be a sign for either unsupported eating behaviors like restrictions or sickness. So I can't stress this enough, but weight loss in and of itself is not a direct correlation to better health. Now, the second value put forth by diet culture is just the idealization of thinness, which of course has major implications on the body image that we consumers build throughout our lives. And then the third value set forth by diet culture is the glorification of some foods while villainizing other foods, essentially driving lots of food guilt around those foods that diet culture might not necessarily have deemed to be quote unquote healthy. Now, why is diet culture so harmful? This is a big one, because there's a lot of reasons why diet culture is harmful. So first things first, for dancers in particular, striving for this quote unquote ideal dancer's body can impose a ton of negative health implications on a dancer. First and foremost, body aesthetics in of themselves and body ideals are very much rooted in elitism and privilege. So diet culture drives a system that oppresses anyone who might be in a body that diet culture has not necessarily deemed to be quote unquote acceptable or ideal. And this oppression can be experienced in many different ways for dancers. This can be experienced in the studio, at auditions, with directors, at summer intensives, and so forth. And body dissatisfaction, those who are in bodies that diet culture has not deemed to be ideal experience it at a much larger extent. Now, here's the kicker. Though it's not commonly accepted by the mainstream, we know that body weight has way less to do with diet and lifestyle and way more to do with genetics and environment. In fact, there are specific determinants that impact anyone's degree of health way more than just the foods they're eating. As an example, access to quality medical care, access to affordable and nutrient-dense foods, and of course, financial access, all impact anyone's degree of health. So contrary to what diet culture tells us, there's way more that impacts our health than just the foods we eat. And this is super important for dancers to understand, because dancers are often perfectionists. And when they're told that food can support their performance, they might think that food is the only thing that is going to support their performance. And because of that, they need to choose a quote unquote perfectly clean diet and lifestyle. And this is where we see things go downhill. Because the reality is, restrictive dieting does not work in the long term. And anytime we do see sustained dieting efforts, those efforts most parallel efforts that we see with eating disorders. Now, eating disorders in comparison to other mental health disorders have the second highest mortality risk. And this is so important, especially for our dancers, that we really consider, instead of choosing a restrictive lifestyle as a product of diet culture, that we're instead choosing something that's more sustainable. But here's where things start to get really confusing, because there's been a major shift in, I would say, the last maybe at least a decade. And the shift is where we're seeing a lot of dieting or dieting efforts being rebranded in order to promote what consumers are looking for these days, which is more of this idea surrounded by wellness. And in doing so, we're even seeing a lot of diet culture come out in the anti-diet space. So what we see is anti-diet rhetoric, like intuitive eating or food freedom, and of course anti-diet itself, being utilized in spaces that are very much peddling restrictive dieting. So it's important for you to understand the 5 red flags when considering an anti-diet approach that's actually being utilized more as a guise for a dieting approach. Red flag number 1, food avoidance is a priority. So anytime you are being told to avoid a food or a food group or maybe a macronutrient like carbs or fat, then you can be sure that's actually a restrictive diet. Now there is one exception. The exception is when there's a medically diagnosed allergy. And in that case, then avoiding any one type of food might be a necessity for somebody. But I don't encourage that you do avoid any food, even if you suspect an intolerance or an allergy. Instead, make sure you back this up with personal evidence, and that could be set forth by a medical doctor and a registered dietitian nutritionist. So a couple of common phrases that you might see even in the anti-diet space that are very much guises for dieting include stick to whole foods, but mostly plants, or don't eat after 8 p.m. Another big one, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that it's a restrictive diet, but what I'm encouraging is that you take that one step further to ensure that foods are not necessarily being vilified. You might also see foods vilified in ways such as with a point system, where foods that would be considered maybe more indulgent are given like a higher point load, or you might see a traffic light system where there's green foods, yellow foods, and red foods being those off-limit foods. These are those red flags that, hey, that's actually a restrictive diet. Red flag number 2 is that weight loss is promised and thinness is a goal. So as mentioned earlier, weight loss is not necessarily this indicator of better health. In fact, weight cycling, which is a common product from yo-yo dieting, holds a host of negative implications in of itself on anyone's degree of health. We also know that dancers are 3 times more likely than the average population to develop disordered eating behaviors and even diagnosed eating disorders. Now, it's also a known fact that dieting could be a gateway to disordered eating. So obviously, dancers, even if a higher up in your company or your school is suggesting that you lose weight, you really want to tread lightly when it comes to restrictive dieting and instead refer to a registered dietitian nutritionist who can better support you. And let's not forget the potential to make an environment change, because if someone is suggesting that you lose weight, then chances are that environment might not actually be supporting you as a dancer. No dancer deserves to be body shamed. And this leads me to red flag number 3, which is that food and nutrition advice is not coming from a qualified source. Now, here's the thing. I'm obviously very pro-dietitian, but that doesn't necessarily mean that every dietitian out there is gonna share the same anti-diet philosophies as myself. Obviously, these philosophies, in my opinion, are what best support dancers in order to build sustainable careers. But there are also individuals who are not even licensed to practice in regard to nutrition. And I've spoken about this in a previous video in regard to getting your food and nutrition advice from a licensed provider like a dietitian. Unfortunately, it can be really hard to decipher who is a qualified nutrition professional versus someone who might not be, who really never underwent the clinical training that dietitians go through. So vet your sources. In my opinion, your best bet will be to refer to a registered dietitian nutritionist with advanced certifications, whether that is a counselor of intuitive eating and or certified specialist in eating disorders. Now, the fourth red flag, and this kind of relates back to the first one, is clean foods are being rewarded. So clean eating in of itself is the biggest, in my opinion, example of where the wellness industry is really utilizing the anti-diet rhetoric as a guise to sell restrictive eating behaviors. And we see this a lot with clean eating. Even seamlessly harmless suggestions to eat real foods is presumably shining foods that might not be considered whole or lesser processed in a bad, negative light, or even making them out like they're fake, which of course is not the case. In fact, a lot of processed, packaged, or convenient foods can be super beneficial for a dancer's busy and active schedule. So vilifying those foods is not gonna support you in the long run. If words like clean eating are being utilized within that approach, then I highly encourage you to don't walk, run the other way. And the final red flag centers around the idea of portion control. Are you being limited in the amount of food that you're eating? The more we do rely on these external rules around how much to eat, whether that's eating in moderation, whether that's specific serving sizes or measuring our foods, the least likely we are to build that intuitive ability to trust our fullness cues. Now, obviously, being able to listen and honor fullness cues is work that does take some time. So almost the quick way out is to want to have those external rules, but they don't support you in the long run. In the long run, what's gonna really benefit you is learning how to identify and trust your own fullness cues so that you can put that, whatever it might be, away, save the leftovers for another day, and still feel super satisfied with your meal or snack choice. So we broke down a little bit about what diet culture is today. We also spoke about five red flags to consider when deciphering between what is actually a supportive approach versus what is actually an unsupportive approach. But I want to leave you with three helpful questions to consider as you move forward in your identification of anti-diet versus diet. So when you come across any type of individual or lifestyle or approach that's being set forth, you're going to ask yourself, are there outright promises that if I follow this approach, I am going to attain a specific body goal? That's your first question I want you to consider, because no individual, whether it's a dietitian, a health coach, a doctor, whoever it might be, your artistic director, can tell you what your ideal body weight, body size, body shape should be. I mentioned this earlier, but contrary to popular belief, our body size, our body weight, our body shape is way more impacted by genetics and environment, not necessarily by whatever dieting or lifestyle rules that approach is setting forth. Okay, so that's the first question you want to ask yourself. The second question, are you feeling any degree of stress, shame, or guilt after eating? This is a key red flag that those clean foods are being rewarded and those otherwise maybe more indulgent types of foods are being villainized. That is a classic sign of diet culture, not the anti-diet space. And the last question I want you to consider, are you spending less time dancing and more time trying to abide by specific food rules? Because the bottom line here is that if you are truly utilizing and building a supportive relationship with food, all the work that I do with dancers and the Healthy Dancer, the ultimate goal is to get you to a place where we are empowering, supporting your dancing, not taking away the mental space to focus on your artistry or the physical energy to get you through class and rehearsals. We want your food choices and your relationship with food to support you, not take away from it. I hope you enjoyed this video, but do me a favor, hit subscribe if you do, because that's going to best support me as I continue to help you in becoming the Healthy Dancer.
Storybox Audio. Storybox Audio. Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.